Last week, the week ended with the NCAA bringing down no hammer at all on UNC after seven years worth of investigations and several years worth of one investigation following the Weinstein report. Ultimately, no sanctions imposed on the university by the NCAA because essentially the NCAA lacks jurisdiction to impose any. Joined now on the air by Dr. Deb Strom and Keenan Flagler Business School professor, longtime sports commentator, and someone who, like many of us, has been following this saga for the last 7 years. Dr. Deb Strom joining us now on the phone. Thanks for being with us, and what do you make of the final days of this investigation? How surprised were you, and what does it mean for the future?
Well, there's no doubt. I've had mixed feelings. Personally, as a member of the university community, there was that inner cheer, and amongst some Tar Heels, big smiles and hugs. On the professional side, I think, and this is important for all of us, is just to be more reflective. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between being found not guilty versus being found innocent. And I love what our athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, stated, that there really isn't a bylaw for what we did wrong. And I think being told that we cheated athletes, that we're guilty of not being the university that we said we are, I think it's time for us to make sure that we continue, and I emphasize continue, to work towards having a holistic education for our athletes, and in particular our high-profile athletes, our football players and men's basketball players. I think we paid a price in terms of our accreditation agency coming in and doing a very, very extensive investigation, us going on probation, us making a number of changes, reform for the better. And I think we're still paying a price. And especially if you talk to the folks in the athletic department, whether it's the athletes, staff, administrators, or coaches, in terms of how it can be used against us in recruiting, how it's made an effect on our brand, our athletic brand. But overall, the cloud has been lifted, and so we can just be reflective in how we're going to continue to be better as a university.
And I think is a really good point that's worth reiterating, that UNC, sort of in response to the Weinstein report in particular, and also the probation that was handed down by SACS, the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, implemented a lot of really significant reforms that has made UNC a better university. Having said that, what does this mean in terms of oversight of universities? We were talking with Art Chansky last week when this got handed down. Earlier today, I was talking with Ross Martin of Inside Carolina. We were sort of pre-discussing ahead of Tar Heel Talk, which is going to be tomorrow evening. And Andrew Carter was with us from the NNO, and we were talking with him. And it all comes back to the same thing, which is the NCAA doesn't really have much in the way of jurisdiction over academic matters like this. The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools can impose probation, and that's pretty significant. The next step up for that is loss of accreditation, and it's not really a serious threat for a university with the reputation of UNC. So it's probation, and that's as high as it goes effectively for that. So beyond that, universities have a lot of autonomy, for better or worse, and in this case for worse, when something like this happens and there's no oversight. So what does this mean for oversight in the future? What can be put in place that might prevent something like this from happening in the future? Not just UNC's own internal checks and balances, but external oversight as well.
Well, I'm a strong believer of speed of the leader, speed of the team. And I don't think there's anything that you can put in place to prevent what happened at UNC. I don't. Mm. I believe it's based on the people. And so if you have people that are hired from the very top and then to people who actually coach or manage a program, you have to find the right people who have high integrity in the midst of this capitalistic society that we live in, where money is being bounced about, whether that's from a formal basis, having coaches who make over $1 million, to things that are happening underneath the table where athletes are receiving a hand check with a few Benjamins in them. So whether it's in your face or not, there's just so much money flowing. And there is exploitation as well. And so what you have to do is make sure that you have the right people in place that will speak to character, that will implement policies and provisions that make it very difficult for people to take the money or to look the other way or to perform illegal acts. But I don't think there's anything that you can legislate because we live in a capitalistic society. And there are people who have money and there are people who want more money. And the athletic industry is not exempt from that. But if you hire people who will take the time to look underneath the rug, who will ask more questions, who will not just turn their back and take the free trip or the free T-shirt or, you know, or meal. But I just think it starts and ends with hiring people of high, high integrity. And even if it means that we might not get to that bowl, that we might not win that championship, but you know that we did the right thing in the midst of all the money that's being flown around, all the media attention, that you'll do the right thing. To me, that's the only way to combat this situation that we're in.
I'm speaking with Dr. Deb Strom and Keenan Flagler Business School. And every time we have a conversation like this, whether it's you and me or I have similar conversations about a bunch of issues with a bunch of different people, and you and I are about to talk about another issue involving the sports world and someone in this case, namely the president, who could stand to act with a little bit more integrity as well. We're talking about all of these issues, and it keeps coming back to the same thing, which is the need for people to have integrity, the need for people to act morally and responsibly, and to do that in a world where there are more and more and stronger incentives, whether it's financial or otherwise, to go the other way, where we've got a society that socializes us to look out for number one and to be self-interested and self-motivated, and where civics education is in decline, where it's not being offered as much at the K-12 level and up at the college level. And we're seeing that trend all going in the other direction, and more we're seeing this lack of integrity. And I know we wanted to talk about the issue of President Trump and the NFL protests, which are still ongoing. We're now, and I know you're a little bit heartened about this, that owners seem to be siding with the players and at least speaking out on behalf of their right to speak out and to demonstrate. But you've got the president on the other side saying, trying to use his leverage and to sort of twist the conversation and make it about respect for the military and respect for the flag in America when that wasn't what it was about in the first place. How do we push back the other way and return to sort of a sense of integrity in a world where there's so much pressure going the other way?
Well, I think that's a great question. I was on the phone earlier today with a colleague at the university about, it just seems like something is happening to our society. Not that we were ever perfect or we were ever great, but there's something happening in our collective culture around allowing things to happen that really don't sit right morally. They really make us feel uncomfortable, the way we're treating one another, where people have been emboldened to talk mean to others, and some of it's being hidden behind, you know, the internet and, you know, online media, social media. But there just seems to be more nastiness or a lack of civility. And because of that, it's important for people who have integrity, people who are speaking truth to power, for people who just want understanding, as in, please listen to my perspective. More of that has to happen now. More than ever, we need people who really care about our democratic principles to speak up and to have courage and to be more bold and confront the ugliness that's happening. And so when you talk about what is going on in the sports space, right now it's very, very clear to anyone who really cares about this, whether they care about the final score of their favorite football team or not. But if you really care about what's happening, find out exactly what the players are protesting. Mm-hmm. There's a great video that Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin put on YouTube explaining why they are protesting. Now, the NFL just finished up their fall league meetings, and they talked about a lot of things. But there is no doubt the number one thing was, what are you all going to do as owners when you have the players, as in your bread and butter, your billion-dollar industry, what are you going to do about this situation? And so I am hopeful, but I also have some question marks listening to Roger Goodell, the commissioner, explain mm-hmm. this. But number one, he stated that everyone should stand. But there's not going to be a change in the NFL policy. And the NFL policy is that you should stand. You don't have to stand. Where it's a little problematic is he mentioned that patriotism is an important part of the game. Now, we know that was constructed. The NFL did not start with, this allegiance to the flag, to the anthem, or anything. But he says it's an important part of the game and that the fans want to see this patriotism. I have a big question mark around that. The second thing is, he said, is that it's important for the owners to understand what is going on in the different markets, as in there are different things happening in different markets. I really, really question that. When we talk about social injustice, when we talk about bails being cash-based, which are definitely ineffective, when we talk about law enforcement and what's happening to black males and black women as well, people of color, I'll say, that's not a different market issue. That is a national market. In fact, we could argue it's a worldwide issue. But I am hopeful that the NFL is now aware, and that was one of the goals of the men who decided to go sit down or take a knee. So you've created the awareness, you've created the attention. The owners now want to study. They've called for another meeting October 31st, and my understanding is that they wanted to have a meeting next week. But some of the players are involved in learning tours where they're going about different cities. They call them listen and learn tours, where they're going to actually go out and meet in different communities around some of these concerns. So the progress is being made. But it's a question, though, because players are still going to kneel, and it's still a question mark as to whether the owners are going to discipline them for doing so.
And I do assume with 30-plus owners in the league, they're going to have different reactions. But we talked about this before, too, and sort of getting back to what you said just a couple of minutes ago about people standing up and speaking out and acting with integrity, even when there's sort of a personal financial incentive not to do so. There are going to be, I have to assume, there are going to be some, if not most, and certainly a decent percentage of owners who stand with their players and stand up for them in public when and if they do take a knee, even though those owners might end up facing a backlash or a boycott or declining merchandise sales or revenue or whatnot, and taking the financial hit, even though and being willing to take the financial hit for that, if that's what ends up happening, in order to do the right thing and stand up for their players and their ability and their right to speak out in this way. And I think that's heartening, assuming that we end up seeing that and continue to see it as this issue continues down the road.
And you're exactly right. In fact, it was leaked that there were some owners in the meetings who were very, very positive about their players, as in they're very proud for them standing up for their beliefs. Now, obviously, well, enough that's obvious, but there are other owners who probably did not feel that way. But it's encouraging that there are owners who really care about the healing of America and understand that when we have anybody in our country who is unfairly treated, injustice occurs that affects everyone. So I like the fact that we have billion-dollar owners who want to pay attention, who are going to take their time and their money and to try to affect change, whether that's from a legislative basis. I know the players are speaking out against some legislation and the owners are interested in getting involved in that. Some sentencing guidelines, equality issues. Now, again, I say this, but on the other side, Roger Goodell was very clear in saying that the NFL doesn't want to get involved with politics.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he just needs to understand what the definition of politics are. But clearly, the NFL is involved. And the more that we can create awareness around social justice issues in America, whether we have to use sport or not, I'm all for it.
And I'm not sure you can say patriotism is an essential aspect of the game and then turn around and say the game isn't about politics, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that conversation's going to go on, and it will change in shape as the weeks go on, but we'll follow that. Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, I got to let you go, but thank you so much.
Thank you.